Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working from home on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, April 19, 2021. AstraZeneca COVID vaccine doses donated to South Sudan have expired.
It came into the country, and when it reached here, we later discovered that I think the life shelf of this vaccine is just 14 days, remain 14 days.
And 22 people were killed in Lake State during dispute over grazing land.
On date 17, Saturday, the clashes erupted between two sections. Mainly Tij and Gony had three areas.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. 22 people were killed and 21 others injured when armed young men clashed over grazing rights in the Torch area of Lake State over the weekend. Police spokesperson in Lake State says the fighting erupted on Sunday when armed young men from two communities fought over access to grazing their cattle. For VOA News, William Sande Mabor has more from Rumbek, Lake State.
Lake State Police spokesperson Captain Elijah Mabor Makwai says the fighting over grazing cattle broke out in Manyangrel and Mayelich cattle camps on Saturday and Sunday.
On date 17, Saturday, the clashes erupted between two sections, mainly Tij and Gony had three areas. One at Manyangrel, another Mayelich, and Kwedwong.
Captain Makwai says police from the state capital Rumbek dispatched forces to end the fighting, but they never made it to cattle camps due to impassable roads.
The government went in advance even, but the place was not accessible. Then the government opted to control along the road because there is no access for the forces and armor to go deeply into the forest. They still avoiding government, because government was taking control on highway road. When the other group from other roadside cross, they will try to stop them, but they avoided the government until they crossed the road, and the fighting erupted till they dispatched by themselves.
Monsignor Christian Kalasare, the recently appointed bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Rumbek, says he is disappointed to hear about the deadly clashes. Bishop Kalasare says he wonders when the people of Lake State will live in peace.
Why our youth should die in this way? Why any youth should lose their life for this wrong direction that the community has taken? The lifestyle of the pastoralist community, it is not wrong. Keeping cattle is not wrong. In the culture of the Dinka, there is nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong. There are many good values, but why there is this going astray time to time? Where should we really change?
Rumbek resident Makir Makur says it pains him to see dozens of young people lose their lives over cattle grazing. Makur urges community leaders and government officials to come together and resolve the issue.
Why I stand here before you today is to condemn the situation that happened in Rumbek these last 2 days and even today. We are really very unhappy, and it is very unfortunate for our people to fight each other to that extent of killing people in the community. As intellectuals of Rumbeki's community, we urge all our civilians to calm down so that we can resolve these issues of fighting each other together with our elders and government as well.
Residents of two communities say fighting resumed on Monday morning between Malengagok and Chwechuk communities. They say those who had lost their loved ones took up arms and went on revenge attacks. Captain Makwai says 7 people allegedly connected to the deadly clashes have been arrested. For VOA News, I am William Sande Mabur, Rumbek, Lake State.
Health officials in Al Gadarif state of Eastern Sudan suspended all schools and learning institutions last week due to an uptick in coronavirus cases. The Director General of the state's health ministry says daily reports from laboratory tests in the town show more than 20 people testing positive for COVID-19 each day. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Health officials in El Gadarif say they were forced to shut down all schools and other learning institutions after seeing the increase in the number of people testing positive for coronavirus. Speaking via messaging application from El Gadarif town, Alia Yusuf, the Director General of the state's health ministry, said the infection rate increased from 7 to 10 people per day, up to 24 cases a day, including children.
We have been recording between 11 to 24 positive cases in a day. And among these numbers, 3 to 7 cases are critical and will be admitted in the isolation centers.
Yusuf says the jump in positive cases is due to the public's failure to observe government health directives, which are in line with the World Health Organization's guidelines. She says, as the number of cases continues to climb, administrators of isolation centers were scrambling to find more supplies.
Sometimes patients need more than 50.
Last week, we recorded 3 cases of death due to COVID-19. Sometimes patients need more than 15 cylinders of oxygen per hour. This is another challenge. But now, this problem was solved by the oxygen department at Al Gadarif Hospital.
Al Gadarif state borders neighboring Ethiopia and hosts more than 50,000 Ethiopian refugees who fled recent fighting in Ethiopia's Tigray region. Asked if the rise in COVID-19 cases has affected the refugees staying at the Umra Kuba camp, Yusuf says the situation at the camp is under control as health partners are on the ground working closely with camp officials and the refugees. Justin Lynch, advocacy manager at the Norwegian Refugee Council, one of the humanitarian agencies working in Umra Kuba refugee camp in El Gadarif, says the refugees are cooperative and adhering to COVID-19 guidelines, but says more awareness is still needed.
When the emergency first began in November, refugees came with almost nothing, and you would never see anyone with a mask on because they just didn't have any basic food, water, and medicine. And, you know, that also meant there was no masks for anyone. And so that was really a critical period. Now things are slowly changing, and you could see more refugees with masks, and so that's a really good thing.
Lynch says as much as the Ethiopian refugees would like to return to their homes, they do not feel it is safe to go back. He says health partners are focused on other health issues as the rainy season is about to begin. He says efforts are underway to ensure that the rain does not cause more health complications among the refugees.
What we are working now in terms of health is making sure that the camps will be able to sustain the coming flooding season. So tents and other open air houses that people are living in won't get filled with water and it becomes totally unlivable. So we're trying to avoid the situation where refugees are living in this kind of mud slush that makes life really unlivable.
For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Still on COVID issues, a New York social worker and a psychotherapist says more is needed to address the pandemic's impact on mental health, particularly among healthcare workers. VOA's correspondent Mariama Diallo reports.
Amina Woods is a New York social worker and psychotherapist who spent the last year helping clients manage the mental health impact of the coronavirus.
People are not well during this time. People are exhausted. People are feeling overworked. People are overworked.
That includes clients in the medical field who care for COVID patients.
There was a lot of appreciation for the healthcare workers and the work that they do, but I don't think that there's been enough concern about how the work that they've been doing has been impacting their physical health, their mental health.
Officials say it's a global problem. World Health Organization's Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus.
Pandemic has taken a huge toll on their physical and mental health, with devastating effects on their families and communities. Anxiety, depression, insomnia, the stress have all increased. I give thanks to those that have stood up in one of humanity's toughest periods.
Woods says she too is among those feeling the mental health toll.
I've had moments where I feel just disorganized, unfocused, anxiety, just living with anxiety, like in the pit of my stomach.
The single mother says she's also seen an impact on her 12-year-old son, who, like many kids, has attended school virtually for over a year.
It's definitely taken a toll on his social-emotional health. I've never seen him, and pardon me if I start crying, but I've never seen him so down and so sad.
According to a recent study by the American Psychological Association, prolonged exposure to COVID-19 stressors is taking a toll. Nearly 3 in 10 essential workers in the study reported a decline in their mental health since the start of the pandemic. Woods says she has found ways to cope.
I feel like the deep breath thing might sound cliche almost. I just take a deep breath, but deep breaths really, really help. Sometimes if I'm really, really at the edge, I'll just go in the bathroom and I'll just cry, it out, which is helpful. In this little bitty apartment, I started just cruising around, or if I take my garbage out to the incinerator, I'd ride my roller skates to the garbage chute.
Simple steps as people around the world try to push beyond a dark and trying year. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, COVID-19 vaccine donated to South Sudan has expired. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is most special about you?
I don't like disappointing people because of my actions. The way it pained me when somebody has disappointed me, I think about the same pain that I will cause to someone whom I have disappointed.
I'm someone who is very friendly, and I can interact with different people without considering their conditions and their status.
One thing special about me: I love the way God has created me, and I love being myself. I don't need to disguise myself like somebody, or I don't need to put myself, pretend like someone. I appreciate the way God has created me.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. South Sudan health officials are holding 60,000 doses of expired COVID-19 vaccine in Juba. The AstraZeneca doses were donated by the mobile telecommunication network MTN and the African Union. The vaccine arrived in the capital a few weeks ago, as Wake Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
Dr. Richard Lako, the incident manager for COVID-19 operations at the National Health Ministry, told the reporters yesterday during a weekly briefing that his ministry realized the AstraZeneca vaccine would expire 2 weeks after it arrived in Juba.
It came into the country, and when it reached here, we later discovered that I think the life shelf of this vaccine is just 14 days, remain 14 days. So immediately we start engaging because we are looking at the capacity, the 60,000, to start doing vaccinated them. Even if we start with them, we may not be able to finish. So the ministry are now engaging the African Union and the team with regard to that effect.
Lako says the health ministry stopped administering the vaccine when it expired and is working with the country's drug and food control authority to dispose of it.
Not all medicines disposal can be done easily. Vaccines are very difficult and it has to be handled also differently. The Drug and Food Control Authority already led the policy, which was already we as a ministry also we have to abide with. And now our engagement with the EU, with African Union and the other people is to see how we deal with this. It's not something that is going to be used.
World Health Organization officials present at the briefing declined to answer questions about the vaccine's expiration date. But India's drug regulator has allowed the AstraZeneca vaccine to be used for up to 9 months from its manufacture date, as opposed to the prescribed 6 months, according to a document reviewed by Reuters. The approval, which was given to a licensed version of the drug made by the Serum Institute of India and has been exported to dozens of countries, including South Sudan, could help health authorities minimize waste of the AstraZeneca vaccine. Dr. Guyo Argata Guracha, the WHO emergency team leader in South Sudan, noted that the vaccine's expiration is different from the vaccine's self-life.
From a WHO point of view, these are new vaccines. The expiry or the, you know, it's called shelf life, not even expiry, that really shelf life. The shelf life, actually, let it be shelf life. We don't have to talk about expiry date. The shelf life of this vaccine is 6 months for now, but we cannot say that it's really expired, but we can talk of the shelf life, which is 6 months.
The vaccine from MTN and the African Union arrived in Juba shortly after South Sudan received 132,000 doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine from the COVAX facility, a global collaboration to speed up the production and equitable access to COVID-19 tests, treatments, and vaccines. Dr. Lako says the latest donated AstraZeneca vaccine doses have not expired and remain usable up to July. Lako says 2,000 people, mostly healthy workers, have been vaccinated in South Sudan. The government recently lifted a partial lockdown on the country after it registered a significant drop in the number of COVID-19 cases. However, Dr. Lako says lifting the lockdown doesn't mean the public should no longer wear face masks or social distance.
The cases are coming down, but again, as my colleague has said, still COVID is there. We still have some pockets of still reporting areas. We have actually spotted in the last 3 or 4 weeks. We are seeing still places like Pariang, Pamer, Numule, Mapirudid, and Agog in particular. Those sites, we are seeing some high number of positivity rates.
To date, South Sudan has confirmed 10,475 positive cases, 10,215 recoveries, and 114 COVID-19 deaths. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
The Center for Disease Control and Prevention says half of all adults in the United States have now received at least one COVID-19 shot. And the new information on the post Johnson & Johnson vaccine. AP correspondent Ben Thomas reports.
President Biden's chief medical advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, tells ABC's This Week,
I believe we'll get back with it, and it might be some restrictions. Not sure what that will be, whether there'll be age or sex, or whether they'll just come back with a warning of some sort.
J&J shots were put on hold due to rare but serious issues with blood clots.
The pause was to take a look, make sure we know all the information we can have within that time frame, and also warn some of the physicians out there who might see people, particularly women, who have this particular adverse event, that they treat them properly.
Ben Thomas, Washington.
Still on COVID, despite its sprawling geography and often inhospitable climate, Alaska ranks among the top U.S. states for getting COVID-19 vaccine into the arms of its residents and its indigenous population, has played a major role in that achievement. Reuters Zachary Goldman has this report.
These vials of COVID-19 vaccines are being packed up in a facility in Fairbanks, Alaska. As far as they've come, they've got further to go. These doses are set for the small town of Eagle, a one-time gold rush outpost on the Yukon River near the Canadian border. Despite its remote geography and often inhospitable climate, Alaska ranks among the top U.S. states for getting COVID-19 vaccines into the arms of its residents. By early April, more than 42% of those aged 16 and older had received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine, one of the highest rates of inoculation per capita. A large part of that success story is due to efforts by the native population, who use their federally recognized sovereign powers to obtain doses from the U.S. Indian Health Service. Karma Ulvi is the first chief of Eagle Village and a community health aide.
Eagle has roughly about 120 people or so, and we've been able to get about 85 vaccinated, so pretty much the entire community has been vaccinated, and that is really nice for all of us, just since we're so remote out here.
The need is particularly important here. With limited phone and internet service and no wintertime road access, the nearest hospital is at least 3 hours away by aircraft.
You know, we're getting like 60% of our food from subsistence, so being fishing, gardening.
Sonia Sager is an Eagle resident who says that even a community that prides itself on self-sufficiency is grateful for the help.
That is in itself very valuable. It's valuable to us, but it's also just valuable to society to have people that can take care of themselves, but we cannot give ourselves the shot. So we are very, very grateful.
Alaska Natives imposed some of the nation's earliest and most robust lockdowns and mask mandates to curb the pandemic, but the virus reached the rural sites nonetheless, with devastating results. According to the state epidemiology office, indigenous people accounted for 37% of Alaska's COVID-19 deaths last year, more than twice their proportion of the population. State data show in some extremely remote native villages, vaccination rates are now approaching 90%.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. Question today.
Do you know any first aid techniques?
come to think of this question, I thought I do, but seriously, I think I may not be able to do too well if there is any situation present. Maybe it's something I need to go in and learn how to do. It could help somebody tomorrow.
During our school days, the Red Cross Society, the clubs that we joined, they taught us a lot. When a child runs high temperature, you sponge the child with water from the leg to the head. Then you just rush the person to the hospital for best treatment.
In case if you have drowned maybe from water, the first aid technique that is available to be given is a kiss of life to a person that has drawn into water.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the coronavirus pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and noses when we are in crowded areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's our show for this Monday. Let's know what you think about this show. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We will air your comments every Friday. Last week has been one of my most tragic week during my career here at VOA. I lost one of my dear friend, Dr. Richard Oleku, who died in Papua New Guinea. Oleku was a brother and a friend. He has been by my side through thick and thin. May his soul rest in peace. I dedicate this song to you, my brother, Oleku. Listening to Winter's Lines with the song "The Lord is My Strength." I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you are in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.